I'm Justin.
I'm Teresa.
And this is True Country.
With us on the show today, we have Bree Bagwell. From Las Cruces, New Mexico, Bree started her music career at the age of 14, singing in her twin brother's band. After high school, she moved to Austin, Texas to attend the University of Texas, and finally had a chance to play live in the Austin area after teaching herself how to play guitar and playing with a friend. Bree has seen her audience grow in diversity and as she's progressed through the musical landscape. She is a talented singer-songwriter and tours across the country, and we are very excited to have her on the show today. Bree Bagwell, welcome to True Country.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we always like to start with a random icebreaker question, so I'm going to ask you, if you weren't playing music, what would you have done after high school, after college?
Oh, wow. Well, I did get a marketing degree, and I had a day job for about 3 months before I quit to pursue music. And I loved it. I worked for a startup company doing marketing. And so that really appeals to me still. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I really wish, like, I missed that life kind of. I think I would be doing that.
Cool.
Do you use some of that, that knowledge that you learned in that marketing degree for what you do right now?
Yeah, I tell my mom, I market myself every day, Mom.
It wasn't a waste. It's well worth it, I promise.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, it's totally changed. Everything I learned in college, like, not to date myself, but, you know, there was barely even a Facebook. So everything I learned, now I'm having to, like, you know, hire younger, cooler people than me to figure it all out.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got started and if you had a specific goal or intent when you started.
Yeah, well, I always, like, loved Texas country, and like y'all said, I started playing in a band with my brothers when I was only 14, and they were huge Texas country fans, and they would go to El Paso, you know, an hour away to go watch Pat Green and Corey Morrow and Jason Boland, and they would bring me signed records home. And when I moved to Austin, I mean, all I wanted to do was be a Texas country singer. And there's kind of really no pathway or clear direction. I kind of just dove in, and now my goal at the beginning was to play as much as possible, and I did. I've played a lot. I really just put the tires on the pavement and played every 4-hour restaurant gig that would let me play early on, and just kind of gone from there.
Awesome.
Wow. And so you started off, you were playing solo stuff. When did you actually get a band and start traveling around more seriously?
Yeah, I was playing just by myself, me and a guitar, and I had my own PA. I would travel and set up. And then I was on a TV show called CMT's Next Superstar. And when I came back from that TV show, that had given me enough kind of, I guess, hype would be the right word, to where I could start booking shows with a full band. So then that was 2011. I played my first show.
That's
crazy to say.
How was traction before that, before you went on the show? Was it just a grind, or were you actually, you know, making some headway with some bigger venues?
I think it was mostly a grind. It's interesting, though, because I was in College Station with a really cool group of people, and I had a booking agent that signed me very early on, which is very rare, but on his agency was Clayton Gardner, Josh Ward, Cody Johnson, Scooter Brown Band, Adam Hood for a little bit. So none of those people were, of course, what they are today, but we were all friends. And so we were all kind of starting out together. And so anytime someone would do well, we all kind of would do well. And I guess before I had the band, I got to do some opening stuff for Josh Abbott, a few big gigs, but nothing totally huge. And I think it's like, you really have to, like, people always say, you know, oh, they just assume that I haven't been doing it as long as I have. You know, I've been playing live music in Texas for 12 years now.
Wow.
And when you were touring around and starting off, what was your goal? Like, where did you want to see yourself?
Yeah, I always just say, you know, I want to be able to play music as long as I can, and I want to do it full time. Like, I want to be... if I'm 85 and still able to do it, that's what I want to be doing. And so for me, it's finding a way to make music the only thing that I do, and to do it full time and to pay my bills. And so it's, you know, it's not like I want to be on the Opry. I do want all of those things, but for me, it was always like I need to make this my full-time passion, my full-time career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Well, we kind of always ask about highest and low moments in your journey, and obviously you haven't been at it too long, but 12 years is a long time. And, you know, we know that some of the low points get you to the higher points. And so what would you say was kind of the lowest point in your journey so far?
Wow. I was on another TV show called Real Country on USA Network. And it was kind of, I had done a few TV shows. I went to The Voice and got all the way to the blind auditions there. And then I was on that other same TV show. And so I was kind of like, I don't want to do it again. But they said it was Travis Tritt, Shania Twain, Jayco. And I was like, okay. So I went and I canceled 13 shows back in Texas, and it was a really good paying month, probably one of my best paying months that I'd ever had. I canceled every show that I had for the month of August to go do the TV show last minute, made some people really mad, used like pretty much all my savings to pay my band for those shows, because my band, they're full-time, that's all they do too. And then I ended up, you know, not winning. And then the next month, my booking agent dropped me, and I had no money left to promote my new record. My new album came out, but I had spent all my money, so I had no PR budget, and I felt like, you know, the record release wasn't near what I had expected. And I was so proud of that record, but you know the drill. If you don't have any money to promote it, it kind of, it's like a, not a waste, but it just felt just so anticlimactic for me. And I, that was just picking up those pieces and moving forward was really tough.
Yeah. So how did you kind of overcome that?
Well, it's kind of, I've always thought that like every day I do my gratitude, every day I do my devotional. And for some reason, that devotional always says exactly what you need. And it's always like somebody sent me this picture of Jesus with this big, big teddy bear behind his back. And this little girl's talking to Jesus in front of him. And she's like, no, I love it, God. Like, don't take it from me. It's this tiny teddy bear. Mm-hmm. And then behind him, he's holding this really big teddy bear. And he's like, you need to trust me. And so I printed that out and put it on my mirror. And that really got me through a lot, because it's like, you know, this all, and at the time, it seemed like the end of the world. And looking back, it's like, it's really not as big of a deal as you think it is. And you overcome, it's just, in the moment, it's really hard.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, she asked the downer question, so I'm going to ask the upper question. What was the most exciting part so far in your musical journey? The biggest high you've had?
Oh my gosh. The biggest high I've ever had, I have to say, I got to open for Willie Nelson last year. And right before he went on stage, he came up to me and asked if I wanted to sing with him. And so I got to sing on stage with Willie Nelson.
Wow. Where were y'all singing at? How many people were there?
It was a theater. So I'd say between 500 and 1,000, but they were all seated and listening. And
facing forward.
Facing forward and quiet in this beautiful old theater in El Paso. That's awesome. That was really cool.
That is very cool.
My parents were there. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit. You've been in the business now, or doing this for a while. What's, with all the knowledge that you have right now, what is something you may do differently if you were just starting out today?
Oh, wow. I am actually starting to write a book on this, because not necessarily that I have done a lot of things right, but I do know what I did wrong. I was trying to think, you know, like with this quarantine, I've done a lot of podcasts and things that I haven't really had time to do, and I'm sitting there trying to remember things, and it almost made me cry. I wish I would have been writing things down. We've done over 150 shows a year for 10 years.
Goodness.
And it all is such a blur, and there were so many great moments, and there's so many stories, and there's so many things, and I'm sitting there trying to think, and I'm like, you know, it's just, it goes by in such a blink. I wish I would have better documented a lot of it.
I love that
love
answer.
It. Yeah,
that's great. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, tell us what you are doing today.
Aside from sitting at home talking to us, what are you doing today?
I love it. Well, I am actually going to put hair and makeup on and jewelry and clothes today. I have a couple videos I'm going to record for some people, and I'm doing a couple of interviews today. I think I have three.
Nice.
And then a couple videos I need to make. And then I'm going to put on workout clothes and pretend like I'm going to work out. It might happen. It might not happen. and then my mom is going to make some amazing Mexican food tonight. That's awesome. Pretty much the day.
Awesome. Are you kind of planning for what the rest of the year looks like? Or are you still kind of waiting for things to shake out? Or what's the thought there?
Oh, I know. It's so hard because we're like the immediate future is still so up in the air. But I'm writing every week. I write a song every week, and I'm writing for this new record. And we're starting to plan. And so I bet I'll be back in the studio by the end of the year. That's the goal.
Great.
And we're still rescheduling shows. I'm kind of preparing now to really hit the ground running once it's all over.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be busy, I think, for everyone once it opens back up. So hopefully there's enough venues to play at, because there's gonna be so many musicians that want to play. So we'll see.
I know. It's really terrifying because we're the first to go and probably the last to come back. But we'll prevail.
Well, I'm gonna ask you the most important question that we ask people on the show, and that is, what is true country to you?
Cool. Yeah, I saw y'all's name. I thought that's really, really a neat name. And I was thinking back, I had a publishing deal with Sony for 3 years, and I was writing songs, you know, once or twice a day for a few years. And sometimes I got really caught up in like, okay, oh no, this song is 4 minutes long. That's too long. They're not going to pitch this, or radio won't play this, or, oh, you know, everyone's writing songs about the tractor. I got to go write a tractor song. And like, after I got out of that publishing deal, I was looking back at some of the, like, all the songs that I'd written and all the songs that I had written before I was at Sony. And it was so weird. Like, my song Whiskey was probably the first song that got me any attention in Texas or any radio play. And it's like 4.5 minutes long. And I can't believe anyone ever even played it or listened to it. And I was like, I need to get back to that kind of writing where I'm not thinking about parameters and, you know, who's going to play this, or who they're going to pitch this to, or what the drum sounds are going to sound like, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe true country is like stepping away from thinking too much about the business and the Facebook likes and the streams or whatever, and just maybe getting back to the basics and just writing what you really feel and not caring about the rest.
That's
true country to Bree Bagwell. It sounds like it's a lot more freeing too. You just be yourself and write what the heck you want to write whenever it comes to you. I couldn't imagine having to just, I don't know, sit down and here's what you got to write about, and this is how long it has to be. And yeah, like you said, all the parameters. It's like you're ruining the creativity here, guys.
It's no longer true.
Right. And that might have been more in my head than anything. And you're right, it is very freeing. And that's also why, like, I love the Texas scene so much, is because you can kind of put out whatever you want.
Now, you play all over Texas and some other states as well. What's your favorite place to play at in Texas?
I mean, it just doesn't get any better than Green Hall for me. I love playing there. It's so magical. I headlined my first show there not too long ago, which was really a cool moment, because I went there when I was 18 and was just like, oh my gosh, I went to see Eli Young Band there. And I was like, I want to be on that stage someday, and that's just my favorite.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, cool. Before we let you go, we've kind of been speeding through this real quick. We didn't want to take up too much of your time, but we have to put you on the world famous 30-second true country shot clock. So you're going to have 30 seconds to answer 6 questions as fast as you can. So, Bree Bagwell, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, let us begin. What is the nickname for your favorite instrument?
Ooh, Rebecca, my guitar.
What is the instrument you wish you could play?
Drums. That's so cool when a girl plays drums.
What is the best concert you ever attended?
Oh, I got to see George Strait at Green Hall.
Nice. Mm. Whose tour bus would you like to hang out on?
Willie Nelson, of course.
You won't remember it, but if you could only listen to 3 artists for the rest of your life, who would they be?
Miranda Lambert, Johnny Cash, and Elvis.
And last question, what is in Toby Keith's red solo cup?
Carbach beer.
Wow. We haven't had that one yet.
Yeah, I worked with Carbach and I just did a big...
Boom, there you go.
Yeah.
You got it in.
Shameless publicity.
You got it in. Awesome. Well, if people want to look you up, where can they find you? Give us your website, social media, all that good stuff.
Yeah, everything is BRI at Bree Bagwell on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. BreeBagwell.com has, well, I was going to say on my tour date. I don't know what we have up there right now. And my merchandise and stuff. So.
And are y'all thinking maybe June or July would probably get back to playing, or have you been told anything?
We have a couple shows at the end of May that I haven't even canceled yet. I'm not counting on them, but we're thinking maybe middle of June or July before we're able to hit the road again. So if we remember how to play our instruments by then, we'll see everybody.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Bree, for joining us today. And if y'all enjoyed today's podcast, please continue to rate, like, review, and follow our podcast at truecountrypodcast.com.
And on behalf of myself and Miss Teresa, thank you very much, Bree, for coming on the show today. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, y'all are awesome. Thank you for having me.
And that was probably the fastest interview. I don't know why we were speeding through stuff really quick.
It had
been a while. But yes,
you
thank you
prepared.
So much. I guess. I'm not normally.
Awesome.
She's prepared.
Sorry. Well, sometimes I'm like, I talk a lot more, and then sometimes I'm like, oh no, was that too long?
No, that was perfect. So thank you very much again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you guys, and y'all have a good day.
Awesome.
I am Justin Mason.
I'm Teresa.
And this is True Country.